Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray, rejoice, rejoice, believers, and let your lights appear. The evening is advancing and darkness, night is near. The bridegroom is arising and soon is drawing nigh. Up, pray, and watch, and wrestle. At midnight comes the cry. In the name of Jesus, amen. It was early in the morning, 2 a.m., my phone rings. The son reports that his mother had died. I spent a lot of time with her before, and now was the first death that I had to respond to as a new parish pastor. I get out of bed, I put on my clothes, my coat, grab my pastor's agenda, and out the door. 2 a.m., it was cold in Iowa West. I got in my car, turned on the heat, and then I sat there just for a brief moment thinking about what is it that I'm going to say. I stare at my little agenda, trying to figure out which page I'm going to turn to. I contemplate all those things which I've learned from the seminary. I sing about that first story in The Hammer of God where that new curate is in the coach and he's going to the house of that dying man. Thinking about all he's learned and how what I'm going to say, how it's all going to apply, and what is it going to be when I'm going to this home. Well, I arrived. Well, although when I was driving out there, I was thinking about her life, that I was with her. When I was at her house, as she was slowly dealing with her cancer and her heart problems, she's showing me how her foot has improved from the foot that was full of sores. I remember her passing out on my shoulder as I held her because of her weakening body. All these things were going through my mind as I was driving out to the house. I entered the house and she was lying there on the couch, her son at her side. I go to her side, but yet soon to be met with all the family and friends. Tears begin to flow. The contemplation of her life begins, concerning her time, her life upon this earth, as well as her suffering, but also her integrity in this life was recalled. And then questions began to be begged concerning the questions of why to the pastor. The environment becomes difficult to manage with the barrage of emotions surrounding her death, surrounding this bed. What is a pastor to do? He does what he always does. Unbeknownst to many pastors, for the first experiences, you have been prepared, and you are, if you will, trained for these occasions. He does what a pastor always does. He offers a litany or some devotion that cuts through the shadows of this experience, of this life, to a certain greater life that comes from above in Christ. He begins to hear their confessions independently of the people that surround the bed about their life, about their love for the loved one who has passed away. And they hear about their own struggles in life, and in some way the pastor offers absolution by returning them to a life that is understood and received in Christ Jesus. Pastors many times talk way too much during these occasions, thinking they have much to say and much to recite, all these pat verses and pat statements. But the pastor's silence bespeaks of the very presence of all that his office holds, what he has preached, what he has given in regards to the sacraments, pulling the shrapnel from this life and pointing to the and giving to the very healing ointment to the body of Christ, that life which his hearers anticipate and continue to receive from their pastor. This Christian woman who has died in the Lord, who has borne the sins of this life, has now been delivered into a certain rest in Christ Jesus, freed from the bondage of this life. During her life, she received and heard the gospel in the body of Christ, and in a way, her preparation for her own death, as I spent many hours with her, is also our preparation for our own daily life, preparing, anticipating, As we wake up, as the Catechism says, and makes a sign of the cross, as we recount our death in sin and our newness in life in Christ, as we being one of the baptized, never forgetting about what life is. Today, John the Baptist cuts through the chase of life. He is, in fact, the greatest prophet, preacher, and pastor who retreats to the simplicity about what life is all about. In the desert that all is exposed and nothing is hid, he preaches from this wilderness, preaches baptism for the repentance to the forgiveness of sins in order to return many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. It is quite simple in many ways. Preaching, baptizing, forgiving, that is giving that of absolution to this life that we quickly forget about what it's all about. John the Baptist stands between every font and altar, preaching repentance for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, life is there at hand. Life is given, a certain life that transpasses your sin and your delusion of what life may be. His audience, his hearers, if you will, gave excuse to a certain life with their own fantasies and imaginations regarding what life is or ought to be, or proclaim themselves as sons of Abraham, or for whatever other excuse they wish to give. Many troubles in life are nothing but our own and our own creation. Sin distinctly draws us away from a very simple life, from that life from heaven above, to a certain life of this, or for a life of this world full of its complexities, in many ways creating our own blindness of what life really is. It is interesting how we entertain ourselves with the most simplest issue in life and we create it as some huge, huge problem. We become blind to what it's all about. Therefore, we're called to repentance. We are reminded about what life is, that life in which we have received. John reminds the people that they should do exactly what has been commanded to them and no more. In baptism, as we hear from Matthew, we are to observe all in which God commands us as the baptized. We quickly learn that is an impossibility. We falter, we sin, because we cannot observe and we fail keeping our faithful to our baptismal life. Therefore, we are once again turned to Christ, the one who has observed all things. We are quickly reminded that what was once Christ and his baptism becomes our own, as we are baptized with him and in him, as we are buried with him, but to rise in the newness of life. Somehow the pastor preaches the same message every Sunday, very much that of John the Baptist. He delivers the same sacrament when we're called into repentance and evaluation of a certain life that comes to us as we anticipate the coming of the Lord. We hear the same sort of confessions from our own people, in which we give the absolution, the forgiveness of sins. Many people who hear such things, who receive such a gift from heaven, who remain in awe at your message of deliverance from this craftful life, as if something new has come to them, because in some way we're always attracted into this, to the life of this world. In some way, this gospel message which comes to us and is given to us always remains as something new. But yet we continue to rejoice as we live a life of anticipation of what is to come, of this gospel of forgiveness of sins that is given and shed for us, that we may rejoice and be certain of a certain life. The pastor's life, the pastor's ministry is not all that complicated, despite the various things that you will see in the ministry. For it is of one simple thing, and that is turning the people to the very presence of God, the God through his Son Jesus Christ that continues to come to him with hands full of mercy and forgiveness. Let this, during this time of Advent season, be a time of self-examination, a time of remembering, a time of returning and anticipation for the coming of our Lord. For we are the baptized. We are those who have received those precious gifts from heaven above. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.